welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode we're going to look at how dressage work can keep your horse sound. So if you're into dressage, the great news for you is that the sport you love can help to keep your horse sound for longer. So in this podcast episode, we're going to explain how dressage can do that, no matter what level you're riding at. So the important thing to understand is that strength plus balance equals a sound horse. So the best way to keep your horse sound and healthy for the longest time is to school him using sympathetic methods that strengthen him without stressing his body. Now to do that, you'll need to ride him in balance. That's because a lack of balance inevitably causes stress and tension. Now, a balanced horse works freely forward in a good rhythm, is supple through his back, seeks the bit, and does all of that without any tension. Now, every horse will lack balance to a certain degree, and that's before you add the rider's weight to the mix. So good dressage riders are always working to manage and correct balance problems. Now, a horse can lack balance longitudinally, which is back to front, and also laterally, which is side to side. So let's look at both of those individually. So firstly, longitudinal balance issues. So horses are naturally inclined to make transitions using their forehand rather than their hindquarters, and that means that the front and the back of the horse usually lack coordination. So when you ride an upward transition, what happens? Is the horse's reaction to use the whole body to make the transition, or does he initiate the transition only with his forehand? So let's look at upward transitions. Now most horses tend to move off using their front end and then drag their hind end out behind them. However, when the horse uses his hindquarters to do the work, they will instantly elevate the forehand. So when the horse is on the forehand, he will cover more ground with his front end through the transition, and that will leave the horse strung out in his outline and hollow over his back, and usually heavy in the contact. Now in contrast, when the horse's back end is the driving force, the horse will cover more ground with his hindquarters and the forehand will become lighter. Now when we look at downward transitions, the same principle applies. So when riding a downward transition, what happens? It's usually the case that the horse's hindquarters stop first while the forehand continues onward. And the outcome is exactly the same. So the horse is tense and hollow through his back, on his forehand and heavy in the rider's hand. Now all of this happens due to how the horse is put together. Because a horse is naturally unbalanced in that he is built on the forehand thanks to his heavy head and large neck, which protrude out from what is effectively a table-like body. So every horse has the same fundamental problems. So let's start by looking at how to improve these longitudinal balance issues. So when trying to improve the horse's balance, transition and half halt are the most important tools. Because using both of these tools persistently and consistently, you will eventually teach the horse to use his back and hindquarters in response to the aids from your seat and from your leg. Now ideally, you want the horse to respond by relaxing his forehand and waiting a moment while the hind legs become engaged and step underneath his body to balance the transition. So let's take a look at how the horse's hindquarters work. So here's what the horse's hind legs do. So number one, the hind leg thrusts the horse off the ground. So it transmits energy through the back and neck to the contact. Number two is that the hind leg then reaches, ideally directly beneath your center of gravity. And lastly, number three, the hind leg carries weight, depending on the horse's stage of training and physical development. So, when you work your horse, you need to consider how you want the horse's hindquarters to work. So, if you want the horse to give you more power, then you need to increase the amount of thrust. Now, if that power is making the horse stiffen through his back, then you must reduce the amount of thrust. In another example, if the horse's hindquarters hop up or become crooked, then he's invading the engagement. Now, if the horse is crooked, then you need to address the reach. Now, you may not necessarily need more reach, but you want the horse to reach for a specific place. So you want it to go underneath you rather than to the side of you. So now let's talk about half halts, because half halts work by balancing the horse and helping him to wait with his forehand and encouraging him to work more specifically with his hindquarters. Now, the half halt can have different meanings. So it can be balance under the rider before a lateral exercise, balance under the rider before an extended trot, balance under the rider around a 10 meter circle, balance under the rider before turning, and even balance under the rider before jumping a fence. So as you can see, the half halt can mean countless things. However, the one common denominator is that the half halt always means balance under the rider by encouraging the horse to step more underneath the rider by placing the hindquarters in a weight-bearing position. Now, the horse and rider will be most in balance when the horse steps directly under the rider's centre of gravity with his inside hind leg. Now, this leads us nicely into transitions. Because like half halts, transitions can be used to ask the horse to step underneath the weight of his rider. However, riding lots of transitions will only help him if you know why you're riding them and what result you hope to achieve. Now, a good downward transition will achieve the weight element of the half halt in that the transition closes the horse's frame through the horse's back from behind and into the contact, while riding upward transitions teaches the horse to reach with his inside hind leg under the rider's centre of gravity and to thrust himself forward. Now, transitions can be used to transfer the horse's weight from the forehand to the hindquarters, therefore helping to improve the horse's longitudinal balance. So now let's move on to look at the lateral balance. Now, the horse's balance is also challenged laterally, and this means kind of bending left to right. That's because horses are naturally left or right-handed, just like people are. Now, also, horses are naturally built wider behind than they are in front. So the horse's wider hindquarters naturally push weight onto the forehand. Now, the wide hindquarters also make it very difficult for the horse to move completely straight. So when your horse moves along a straight line, his inside hind leg will automatically travel on its own track, usually slightly to the inside. So take, for example, a horse that is moving on a straight line on the right rein. Now, thanks to the horse's natural right or left side favouritism, the horse's right hind leg is carrying more weight than the left, and this causes the right hind leg thrust to push the shoulders away to the left, which results in a horse that feels heavier in the left rein. Now, also, the horse's wide thrust from the hindquarters will push his weight onto his forehand. Now, under saddle, an experienced rider can encourage the horse to step underneath his centre of gravity through using shoulder fore positioning to narrow the track of the hind legs. Now, a horse will never move completely straight when left to his own devices, simply because of how he's made. Now, your influence as a rider is the only way to make your horse truly straight and balanced. So let's talk about how you go about doing this. So to make the horse straight, you'll need to make the track of his inside hind leg narrower so that it comes directly behind his inside foreleg. And then you want to narrow it further so that it steps into the area between the front feet. That then brings the hind leg immediately underneath the horse and aligns his centre of gravity with yours. So in the case of the right-handed horse, as he learns to track his inside hind to the left towards the centre of gravity, he will then tend to move his outside hind to the left too in order to accommodate. But what you want is the left hind leg to track behind the outside foreleg to assist in carrying more of the horse's weight on the outside. Now, that positioning is called shoulder fore. Now, shoulder fore is not an exercise in itself, it's the way that you should always ride the horse to help him carry himself, and it should not be confused with the exercise shoulder in. So you will use your inside leg to your outside rein, with your outside leg guarding to prevent the quarters from stepping out. Now, riding your horse in shoulder four simply means that you are riding straight, and it is something that you should do all the time. Now, if you can teach your horse to become more coordinated like this, you'll be rewarded with a happy, healthy, sound horse. So let's talk about riding shoulder four. So here's a very useful exercise that you can use to help straighten your horse to improve his lateral balance. So you can use a mirror for this exercise, or you can ask a friend or your instructor to video you head on in a position that shows your horse walking in a straight line. So step number one, on the right rein, start by flexing your horse very slightly to the inside, which is to the right, and make sure that you have a good connection between your inside leg and your outside rein. Step number two, now ask the horse to step between the tracks of his two front feet with his inside hind right foot. And lastly, step number three, you should not be able to see the outside left hind foot because it should step into the same track as the left forefoot. Now at first, your horse will find this exercise very challenging, and it does take a while to perfect your coordination too, but don't give up, because once the penny is dropped and you've both worked out how to do the exercise, you can then try it on the other rein and you can move on to riding shoulder four in both trot and canter. Now, whilst we're on the subject of exercises, we're going to cover how to ride a half halt. Now, we have got a podcast episode specifically on this exercise, but it is a very useful tool, so therefore it's worthwhile us revisiting it again. So there are three phases in the half halt. So number one is the go, number two is the woe, and number three is the soften. Now ideally, the three elements of the half halt should be synchronised with the horse's movement in each stride, and we're going to go through each of them separately. So firstly, the go phase. So the go phase of the half halt relates to the instant of thrust when the horse steps through with his inside hind leg. Now for the half halt to be effective, you must be able to feel the result of the thrust into your hand as the horse steps forward and in front of your leg to seek the bit. Now if the horse doesn't work into the bridle, the half halt won't be effective in connecting the horse. Now the half halt should not stop the horse from seeking the bit, and the horse shouldn't just draw on your hands. He should draw on your back and seat with the effect that he deepens your whole vertical self into the saddle. Now after this go phase, we then move on to the woe phase. Now the woe phase of the half halt relates to engagement. Now this is when one of the horse's hind legs is bent and his foot is flat on the ground taking his weight. Now this moment is the only time that you can improve your horse's balance by transferring more weight behind. So your rein aid connects to the horse's hind quarters and shifts his weight from his forehand to the hind leg that is in contact with the ground. Now during the woe phase, your hands should briefly stop following the horse's mouth as he moves forward. Now simultaneously, close your leg and seat to ask your horse to step underneath behind, and that causes the weight from the horse's forehand to transfer to the hind leg that's on the ground and which is ideally stepping underneath the rider's seat. Now horses at the lower levels and those in the early stages of their training may only make the connection between the bit and the horse's hind quarters, and later in the training process, your aim will be to shift more weight onto the hind quarters, which will then collect the horse. Now, when ridden correctly, the half halt doesn't cause the horse's neck to shorten. Instead, the aids close the horse's frame by compressing his back behind the saddle. Now, once you've completed the woe phase, you then move on to the soften phase. Now, this is the final phase of the half halt. And the softening aid means that you ease your hand forward to allow the horse room to breathe. Now you should keep your tone position as the softening of the hand invites the horse to thrust into the next stride. So lastly, let's quickly talk about how you can use these half halts and transitions. So now that you and your horse have mastered working in shoulder four position and you can ride effective half halt, you can introduce some transitions into the mix. So when riding these exercises, you're going to ride the transitions in the same places in the arena, because the idea is to encourage the horse to anticipate the transition happening, because that will allow the horse to begin to anticipate how he performs the transition. So step number one, start by riding around the arena in working trot and begin your half halts 3 to 5 steps before you want the downward transition to walk. Step number two, stop following the movement with your hands and push from your seat and legs into the contact, and ride this half halt a few times before you want the horse to make the transition, and keep the horse's forward thought until you reach your chosen letter. And then lastly, step number three, when you reach the letter, make the transition to walk. And then after that exercise, you need to analyse what happened. So did the horse's hind legs remain active and keep the energy through the half halts? And did you maintain the connection through the horse's back and neck, or did he fall onto his forehand? So keep repeating the exercises, maintaining the shoulder fore positioning, analysing what happened, and eventually you'll get the result that you want. And then once you've got it, you can now ask for an upward transition to trot. Remember that the horse will want to begin with his front legs, so ask him to start with his hind legs, which should elevate his shoulders. And again, analyse the exercise. So did the horse move off using his whole body, or did he just use his forehand to pull himself into trot? So to wrap this whole episode up, a balanced horse that works in an uphill balance and is laterally supple and straight will not only get better marks in dressage tests, but he will also stay sound for much longer than a horse that habitually works with all his weight on his forehand. Now, working in a good balance can protect the horse's joints from stresses and strains, as well as guarding against the concussion injuries that can result from habitually landing in a heap in downward transitions. Now, if you have any other questions when it comes to this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. Alternatively, you can join our training forum, which you can find at howtodressage.com/community. But to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other free stuff, books, training diaries and competitions, please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you tuning in today to listen to our podcast and hope that you've got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff available on our website howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of equestrian books, planners and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.